Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Go to Portis. He'll give to Trent. Now Trent gets to Giannis. Giannis slaloms his way down the lane and sends it down with another thunderous two-hand slam. Antetokounmpo taking no prisoners. He's got 30 points now.
Bucks talk starts now.
Final horn sounds, and the Bucks will take care of business. 125-119. They have secured the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, the league certainly had a lot of hope that Sunday was going to give us a lot of intrigue, not just with the Bucks and Pistons, but across the board. And that is definitely not going to be the case in the Eastern Conference. A take-care-of-business performance tonight from the Bucks. You could see the focus out there. There was no real lulls or let-ups. None of those runs that the Bucks have been susceptible to in the past. This was a really solid win by this team in a playoff-type atmosphere. We heard Doc Rivers say after the game last night against the Pelicans, I'm looking forward to seeing if our guys can match that intensity that's going to be out there in the crowd tomorrow night. And I think the Bucks did. They rose to that challenge. They put together a very strong, strong win tonight against the Pistons team that's been playing pretty well. And you lock up your seed now. So you know you're getting the Indiana Pacers for the second consecutive year in the postseason, just as we saw back in, what, 99 and 2000. When the Bucks were the 7th seed and 8th seed and had a competitive series with the Pacers before ultimately losing to that Indiana team in the first round. You hope history does not repeat itself in that sense, but I do think there's a lot of reasons for optimism with how this team is looking of late. Not only this win tonight, not only the comeback win against the Minnesota Timberwolves, the 7-game win streak, you can pick it apart and say, well, who have they really played? They beat the Timberwolves. They beat the Pistons outside of that. You had 2 games with the Pelicans. You had the corpse of the Philadelphia 76ers, and that's all true. But what have the Bucks done in those 48 minutes? That's the big thing to look at, and I don't think there's any disputing. This team is playing their best basketball of the season right now as you're moving into the playoffs. 800-990-3776, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as Bucks lock up their seed. And I mentioned it's going to be an anticlimactic day on Sunday because the Bucks won, the Pacers lost, the Hawks won, and the Bulls are about to win. There's less than a minute remaining, and they're up 30. So those results give us our entire playoff picture. We knew the Celtics and Cavs were locked in. 1 and 2, Cleveland as the 1 seed, the Celtics as the 2 seed. Indiana had to win out and needed the Knicks to lose out. I do want to get to Indiana's strategy, but those results or the results of the Indiana game means the Pacers cannot catch the Knicks, so the Knicks are the 3 seed despite losing tonight to the Cavs. The Pacers are the 4 seed. Bucks win tonight gives them the 5 seed, which means the Pistons are the 6 seed. We already knew the Magic were the 7 seed. The Hawks win means they are the 8 seed. Chicago cannot catch them because of the tiebreaker. And that leaves us with the Bulls and Miami Heat. So we know what our matchups are. We know we're getting Bucks versus Pacers. We are getting Knicks versus Pistons. We're getting Hawks versus Magic in the 7-8 line. And we're going to get Bulls versus Heat on that 9-10 draw. So now we can start to pick apart the paths for these teams. For the most part, we still got to see the results of the play-in tournament. But there is one interesting thing that came from all this. I do want to get to the game performance, what we saw from these rotations of Doc Rivers, and what's been a trend that we've talked about the past couple of games. Performance in Kevin Porter Jr., how much Bobby Portis has changed things with his return for this team. But the message that the Indiana Pacers put out there with how they approach this game tonight. What was their motivation with doing what they did? Was it related to the Bucks, or was it related to the second round and the danger of playing for seeding like that? When we talk about the basketball gods rewarding you or punishing you, we've seen it through the years. We've seen the Bucks arguably fall victim to it last year as well. But an interesting approach from the Indiana Pacers. So we'll dig into that as well. Coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Howdy. He had the ball taken away from behind. Trent came in on the backside and took took the ball away. He's going the other direction. He puts it off the window, no good. Giannis guides it in and taps it in for that triple-double on that play. He's got 32 points, 13 assists, and 10 rebounds.
11th triple-double of the season for Giannis. And we've seen a few people point out, too, hey, I think we talked about this last night. The notion that, you know, Giannis could put up a lot of these stat lines like you see with a Nikola Jokic if he had to. I think Giannis, I'm not going to say it's like the 1980s Los Angeles Lakers when you look at the guys that Magic Johnson had surrounding him. But Giannis has had some pretty good teammates through the years. When you got Dame now, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, you've had all-stars in there, you've had all-NBA defensive players as well. What he's been asked to shoulder hasn't been quite as much. But you see what's in there of if you've got to lean on him for that, it's there. And right now with no Dame, you got to lean on him for that. I'm going to keep going back to what we've heard not only Doc Rivers, but a number of coaches say in these past, 10 days now? It just provides clarity. And again, this doesn't say it's non-existent or it's a bad thing to have Damian Lillard on the floor. That is by no means what any of us are trying to suggest here. But the clarity is Giannis is the sun that everything revolves around. The other guys on the floor are role players. So your shooters, your Gary Trent Juniors and A.J. Greens and Torian Princes, get to your spots where Giannis knows you're going to be. Play defense, get to your spots, wait for those passes. Trust the pass. He's going to find you. 15 assists tonight. It's the second time since the break he's had 15 or more assists in a game. He is the NBA leading assist man in the month of April. It's been a much, much different offense for the Bucks. The defense has been good enough, right? Doc has said before the game, there's still some things we'd like to clean up and need to clean up, frankly, like transition defense. I didn't think that was as much of a problem tonight. But the offense has started to find its rhythm and find its identity. And that identity is, this is a Giannis team. And we're just, I don't want to say here for the ride, but we know what we're going to be asked to do. The other guys out there. 51 points from your bench tonight after 70 points last night. That's the other theme that started to set in. And again, it speaks to that clarity for the second unit and those role players. You're seeing that production now increase. So it's been an incredible run here from Giannis. Yet another incredible run in what he has put up statistically so far this season. And it's come at a time when they need it most, right? With no Damian Lillard, who knows how long. We've talked about Doc's message over the weekend, and he was asked about it again earlier this week. But I think it's important to level set. Look, this could be 6 months. It could be the case that Dame doesn't return during the playoffs. It could be something that lingers into next year where maybe he misses a part of the start of the season. You just don't know with these types of things. And that's why your path forward, the way that you have to approach this, is okay. We don't have Dame Lillard. Here's how we have to play going forward. 800-990-3776, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as they knock off the Pistons in a strong win tonight, 125-119, so they lock up the 5 seed, and that sets up the Indiana Pacers in the first round of the playoffs for a second consecutive season. All the longtime Bucks fans can remember those previous playoff matchups with the Pacers when you go way back when to the 1999 and 2000 playoffs where the Bucks faced the Pacers in each of those two first rounds. And those were competitive series. And that was a Bucks team that was in some ways in a much different spot than this iteration of the group. And in other ways, very different. But that was the first 2 years that George Karl was the coach of the Bucks. The 1998-1999 season was the first of those years where the Bucks drew the Pacers. That was the strike-shortened season where only 50 games were played, and the Bucks finished 28-22 in George Karl's first season. They were swept by the Pacers back when it was a best of 5 format, but you had two very competitive games to close things out, where the Bucks ultimately lost on the home floor at the Bradley Center 99-91 in that series against a very good Indiana Pacers team that we would subsequently see go on to the NBA Finals. And the following year, that same Pacers team, the first year was a 2-7 matchup. You were the seventh seed. The next year was a 1-8 matchup. And that was the same story. And I beg your pardon, this was the year the Pacers went to the NBA Finals. But in that best of five, that went all five games. And that was the ultra competitive series. You lost game one on the road in Indiana by 3 points in a game you were in up until the very final minutes of that game. You had traded wins. You won in Indiana to even the series. They won game three in Milwaukee. You took game four in Milwaukee. And that led us to game five, where the Bucks lose to the Indiana Pacers on that Travis Best corner three-pointer. And now we're fast forward, 25-plus years later, we're getting the same thing. The Bucks actually 25 years. If you look at the 2024 and 2025 playoffs, 25 years later, the Bucks and Pacers are going to renew this in the first round for a second consecutive season. We'll spend a lot of time previewing that matchup and digging into the numbers throughout the course of the week and on Sunday. But speaking of the Indiana Pacers, you know, I mentioned coming into the day today, there was still a little uncertainty and ambiguity over these playoff matchups because the Pacers still had a chance to get the 3 seed, one of the hottest teams in the league in the second half of the season. Indiana was still alive for the 3 seed. They needed to win out and needed the Knicks to lose out. Not inconceivable. Knicks do have the Brooklyn Nets on Sunday, so maybe you look at that and say, well, I don't think that's going to go our way. But nonetheless, that wasn't the approach we saw from the Indiana Pacers tonight. So why is the question? We'll shed some light on that coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Cunningham now feeds Duren. His pass intercepted by Porter. He's going the other way. Hands to Giannis. Giannis dumps it inside. Porter gets it to go. Flips it up and in. Good transition attack. And again, it was the steal from KPJ.
Kevin Porter Jr. has been a big spark for this Bucks team. Second half of the season since being acquired, and it really started in that Minnesota Timberwolves game going into the All-Star break. That's one of the things you've stumbled into, and you know, you hesitate to think, where would this group be right now without Damian Lillard if you did not make that trade to bring in Kevin Porter Jr.? Ryan Rollins has been solid as well, but it's interesting that the Bucks have kind of settled into almost like a baseball approach, and something that you would see Pat Murphy and the Brewers do, where we've seen more and more of this, where you just, it's not a starter. You just throw a reliever out there to start the game and give you a couple innings. That's kind of what the Bucks have been doing of late with their starting five. And I've seen a lot of questions, concerns, pushback over that Bucks starting rotation, starting five, I should say. And Doc even talked about it a little bit tonight before the game, too, about, you know, you guys have kind of gone to the same group over and over again. Is it something you're looking into possibly changing? And his message before the game was, you know, when we have Ryan Rollins and Torian Prince and Kyle Kuzma in the starting lineup, it just gives us more options to go to after the game has began. Kyle Kuzma, you like the defense and his size and what he gives you, versatility on the defensive end of the floor. Ryan Rollins, as Doc said, same thing. You know, we've talked about it on this show many times. The near seven foot wingspan that Ryan Rollins possesses. He's got great defensive tools and upside. You know, we've heard Doc a couple of times talk about Ryan Rollins taking an individual point guard out of the game in the past. You know, you go back to that Suns game at Fiserv Forum. Granted, it was Colin Gillespie, but Doc Rivers, hey, he took Colin Gillespie out of the game where the Suns had to have their point guard play off ball because of what Ryan Rollins was doing. And the other piece with Ryan is he likes his spot up shooting on the floor with Giannis, and that's the same story for Taurean Prince. So they've stumbled into, we like the way this works to start games, and then from there it becomes matchup-based to an extent. But I don't think it's coincidental that we're seeing the same guys closing games. And Doc even said before the game tonight, we still believe we know what our better lineups are in certain parts of the game. We think we've used those, but even in those spots, we got options. Do we play Bobby or do we play Brooke? Do we play AJ Green or do we play Gary Trent Jr.? Maybe sometimes it's both. So we have a lot of moving parts. We're really deep and have a lot of guys that can play and a lot of guys that can shoot. On certain nights when they're going in, those guys are going to be on the floor for a long time, even Brooke and Bobby. And Bobby's fitting really well, and that's made it very easy for us so far since his return. So I think you read between the lines, and especially that part where Doc mentions, we know the better lineups in certain parts of the game. I think we're seeing that in the last, what, four or five games now, where you look at the minutes played and you look at the minutes played in the fourth quarter. I don't think it's purely coincidental or opponent-driven that we're seeing Gary Trent Jr. and AJ Green and Kevin Porter Jr. as the guys that are out there alongside Giannis. Before the game yesterday and after the game, we talked about looking at four-man lineups in terms of what are the best in the league. Since the All-Star break, the best four-man lineup in the league was the group that's Giannis, Kevin Porter Jr., Gary Trent Jr., and AJ Green. And to Doc's point, that leaves Bobby Portis or Brooke Lopez pretty interchangeable, depending on the opponent that you draw there. Who knows? You know, maybe by this time next week, we're talking about Bobby Portis or Brooke Lopez or even some Jericho Sims moments earlier in the game. But they've really started to stumble into, and stumble is probably the wrong way to put it, they have found this is the group that works. So much can be made over starters. What's more important is who's playing more minutes and who's closing the game. And those numbers are not deceiving at all. You know, you go back to tonight. Kyle Kuzma plays 23 minutes. Brooke Lopez plays 25 minutes. Ryan Rollins plays 17. Taurean Prince plays 25 minutes. Kevin Porter Jr. and Bobby Portis both logged more than 30 minutes off the bench. 31 from KPJ, 33 from Bobby. Gary Trent Jr. and AJ Green both basically matched Brooke Lopez and Taurean Prince in minutes and outplayed Kyle Kuzma. So I think we've seen, okay, let's see where this takes us. And we know when it comes down to it, this is the group that we like to play. And I think that's an important part, and that's why we're saying this team's playing their best basketball right now. There are more numbers that back that up as well that I want to get to in a second. But I want to go back to that Pacers thing because, you know, Indiana had the chance to get the three seed. They're one game back of the Knicks, and they are still one game back of the Knicks. They cannot catch them, however. The Knicks hold the tiebreaker. So you had to win those two games and have the Knicks lose those two games. But Indiana came into this game tonight against the Magic team that had nothing to play for. Orlando, days ago, locked up the seventh seed. They couldn't drop down to eighth. They couldn't move into the top six. In theory, this should have been a, hey, let's win this one. The Knicks got a tough game on paper against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and as we saw, the Knicks lost that game. Let's see where it falls on Sunday. Pacers have the Cavs. I would imagine for all these teams, you're not going to see much beyond a quarter of your regulars playing. But hey, let's see where it falls. I know that the Knicks have the Brooklyn Nets. Who knows? Maybe the Nets win that game. Think about that, the game the Knicks were in a year ago against the Chicago Bulls, going to overtime, that corner three that I believe Jalen Brunson hit to win it. You get those types of moments the final day of the regular season where you don't know what to expect. The Bucks had an ugly loss to the Orlando Magic that final day of the regular season. So it was there. There's a path and a scenario for the Indiana Pacers to say, let's move up. You know, beyond having home court in our matchup with likely the Bucks, either the Bucks or the Pistons, let's move up. Let's see if we can get to the three seed And then who knows? Maybe we could get home court in the conference finals if we mess around and get there again. But instead, the Indiana Pacers basically sat everyone in their game today against the Magic. So Indiana's starting lineup in this game was Jairus Walker, Obi Toppin, Thomas Bryant, Benedict Mathurin, TJ McConnell. Their bench was Quentin Jackson, Tony Bradley, Johnny Furphy. Tyrese Halliburton was ruled out. Andrew Nembhard was ruled out. Aaron Nesmith was ruled out. Pascal Siakam was ruled out. Miles Turner was ruled out. And this is where it gets dangerous and tricky. We have seen the Bucks and other teams do this. And I keep going back to there's a couple of scenarios in the Western Conference that we see year over year. The Clippers were one of those teams one year that just said, we're fine with dropping down a seed line because it means we'd play this team. It happens routinely. And it's a dangerous thing to do because we talk about the basketball gods and what they punish and what they reward. And you look at those years that the Bucks sandwiched around an NBA championship. One of the things that stood out was the Bucks' approach the year that they won the title. When going down the stretch in that season, there was a chance for the Bucks to avoid the Miami Heat. And the approach from that locker room, I remember everybody talked about this in the lead up to the first round series because the Heat just beat you in the bubble, and not only beat you, embarrassed you. They dominated the Bucks in that series. And yeah, I know Giannis missed time with the ankle issue, but it wasn't a great showing for the Bucks that season. And there was a lot of fear from Bucks fans, pretty similar to last year in some ways, where you looked at the Pacers and you said, man, 1-4 against this Indiana team, this doesn't feel like this is the game, or this is the team, I should say, that you want to get. I don't know about this one. The Bucks' approach was, we'll take whoever we get. We're going to play to win down the stretch. If it means we get Miami in the first round, great. We want them. When that's the approach you have, and it's not just the whole basketball gods and, you know, things that we can't quantify, but it puts you in a better spot to be playing competitive games, playing to win, having that approach, having that mindset. You know, it's not quite flip the switch type of discussion, but with that week-long layoff as well, if that's the way you go into your final weekend and then, okay, now it's time for the playoffs, it doesn't always bode well. And I don't know how much of this is, hey, we should be insulted as the Bucks or as Bucks fans that the Pacers are perfectly fine with us. I think it's pretty clear why the Pacers played to lose this game tonight, and they did. There's no dancing around the lineup that they trotted out there. I get they were on night two of a back-to-back. But you know who else was on night two of a back-to-back? The Knicks, the Bucks, the Pistons, other teams were. It's pretty clear they're doing this to avoid the Boston Celtics in the second round. Because I think if we've seen a couple of things here, it's as great of a story as the Cleveland Cavaliers were earlier in the season, how historically good their offense was. It started to cool off a little bit. And again, I mentioned this the other night. In some ways, it reminded you of that 2019-2020 Bucks team that at one point, they were on pace to win 73 games. They hadn't lost consecutive games all season long. That was the year they had the trip to Paris where they blew out the Charlotte Hornets, and I believe that put them to 40-6 on the season. On pace for 73 wins, didn't suffer consecutive losses until the final week of the regular season before a pandemic took place. And after that, nothing was the same. Not just in basketball. Nothing was the same that year. In some ways, that's kind of what we've seen from Cleveland. They had a couple of tough losses. They had a couple of three-game losing streaks after the All-Star break. And it just hasn't looked like the same team. All the questions that were there before earlier in the season over, is this team, you know, on that level? Can we trust this team? I think they're starting to pop up again. And I think in turn, you're seeing a team like the Pacers saying, We know what to expect from the Celtics. And by the way, the Celtics have been one of the best teams in the league. I want to get to those numbers in a second since the All-Star break. But I think you're seeing the Pacers say, we know what to expect from Boston. We don't want that. And the dangerous part is you're putting the cart before the horse, as we've learned the last 2 years when you talk about playoff matchups and who do you got to beat to get to the finals or what would this be as a conference finals matchup or even a second-round matchup. You got to win your first series to get there. And that's where this becomes dangerous. As I mentioned, the Bucks have done it before. Other teams have done it before. It usually doesn't bode well for you. So that was an interesting thing to see when that injury report came out, to file away and say, okay, it's interesting that this is the approach from the Indiana Pacers. I do want to take a look and bring up some of those numbers I mentioned of what are some of the trends we have seen since the All-Star break and what stands out, because there's a lot encouraging about the Bucks that stand out regardless of the schedule these past 10 days or so in this seven-game win streak, especially. The full body of work after the All-Star break is starting to look more and more impressive for the Bucks, and again, that's why I think there is even more optimism by quite a bit, even if we take Giannis's injury out of it, because that's the big part. A year ago, this team is in a much different spot right now than they were in the playoffs last year. So we'll dig into those numbers coming up next on Bucks Talk.
Milwaukee with a basketball and the 6-point lead. Here's Porter around the Giannis screen. Hands it off. Long three ball on the way. A.J. Green delivers a dagger from the left wing. A big-time bucket from the Dairy Bird has put Milwaukee ahead by 9.
Yeah, that Bucks bench, 51 points tonight. So they scored 121 points in the last two games. Consistency from the bench, consistency from Giannis, consistency on the glass now as well with the return of Bobby Portis. Things are trending in the right direction now for the Bucks. Speaking of trends, we talk about the optimism that you have going into the playoffs and how it feels much different than a year ago. Again, the elephant in the room is you didn't have Giannis last year. And Giannis suffers the soleus strain with, what, I think 9 games left, whatever it was, in the regular season, if that. And there was this ambiguity around Giannis's status going into the playoffs. I said on this show, you have to assume he's not going to play. And he didn't. That obviously changes what the vibe is and how you feel going into a first-round matchup. This year, you may not have Damian Lillard in the playoffs at all. Maybe he comes back at some point in the first round. Maybe he comes back if you get to the second round. But the approach needs to be the same. There is no Dame. So how do we beat these teams without him? And I think you put yourself in a very good spot to do that. If we look at the trends since the All-Star break, the Bucks have gone 18-10 with a fairly tough schedule, right? I mean, you look at the 7-game win streak. Sure, not quite as much in those games, though you did have a very strong win against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Tonight felt like a playoff game. That was a nice win as well. But this 7-game win streak, it's not the toughest stretch in the world, right? To beat the Pistons, the Pelicans, the Timberwolves, the Pelicans again, the Heat, the Sixers, the Phoenix Suns. But the full body of work since the All-Star break, starting February 20th against the Clippers, it's a pretty tough schedule. And the Bucks have gone 18-10 in those games. That is the 6th best record in the league since the All-Star break. Offensive rating for the Bucks is 10th best in the second half of the season. Their defense is 14th. So again, coming into the season, and there's not a whole lot of separation between 14 and 10. And coming into the season that, 12, 13, 14, can they finish somewhere around there? If they do, it feels like that should be good enough. And they've been better than that for large stretches of this season, but they've been better than league average in the second half of the season, and they've been a top 10 offense in the second half of the season. Their net rating, 10th best in the league. We talked about the performances Giannis has given you. Keep in mind, you're doing this in this 7-game win streak. It still counts, but you're doing this against a tougher schedule and you're doing this without Bobby Portis for all but three of those games, without Damian Lillard now for a chunk of those games. That's an impressive run from this team, and you're doing it while you're fitting in some new pieces that you acquired at the trade deadline. So that cannot be diminished and shot down. When you look at the net rating, which is oftentimes the best barometer for where you're headed and who are the best teams in the league, in this stretch, 8, 9, and 10 are the Pacers, the Pistons, and the Bucks, and they are all separated by about a point. That tracks with what we've seen with the eye test. Meanwhile, the New York Knicks, who, in fairness, have played a big chunk of those games without Jalen Brunson, but as we mentioned, Bucks played a big chunk without Bobby Portis and without Damian Lillard. The New York Knicks are 18th in net rating. And it just leads us to, as we move into the final day of the regular season, what the vibes are and what some of the comps we're seeing are. What reminds you of last year, especially since that first-round opponent is going to be the same as last year. So I do want to take a look at those teams, the expectations, and what we've seen from the Bucks, from the Pacers, from the Pistons, and the Knicks. And how does that comp to what we saw in those same spots, in that 2, 3, 4, 5 range, 6, including the Pacers, a year ago? We'll take a look at that and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk.
All right, so we go back to last year. The Bucks won 49 games a year ago, and it came down to that final day of the regular season to figure out, number one, where do you want to be? Do you want to be the 2 seed? Do you want to be the 3 seed? The Bucks were in a spot of, hey, win, and you're going to be the 2 seed. And they did not. They lost pretty ugly to the Orlando Magic, and there was a chance, and for a moment, a good chance that the Magic were going to drop down to 6 and be your first-round opponent. That didn't fall that way because of the Indiana Pacers. So that gave you the Pacers once again. It set up the Magic and the Cavs. It moved the Knicks to the 2 seed with their win over the Bulls. And the reason why teams were avoiding the 2 seed, save for the Knicks, was the 76ers, who were in the play-in tournament, and as we saw, nothing materialized from that. That's the danger of trying to finagle your way and say, let's avoid this team and get this team instead. But last year, going down the stretch, the Bucks did not look like they do right now, and Giannis's injury is a huge part of that. They didn't have great losses down the stretch. The optics weren't great. Meanwhile, you have the New York Knicks, who made the move to bring in OG Anunoby midway through the season, started to piece together some really good basketball, and just continued to build momentum and finish the season, incredibly hot on a 5-game win streak and just started to build this momentum. Same could be said for the Indiana Pacers, but a very solid season, exceeded expectations, won 4 of 5 against the Bucks, finished the season relatively hot. And you had the Bucks who weren't really doing that. Well, this year, we just went through the numbers post All-Star break and how the Bucks, the Pistons, the Pacers, they've all been really good. The Knicks have not. In many ways, in the Knicks, having that injury to Jalen Brunson, he's back now, but dealing with that, dealing with guys playing very heavy minutes. You go back to earlier in the season when Mikal Bridges told Tom Thibodeau, we got to play fewer minutes, Tibbs. What you're seeing coming out of New York is starting to take on the vibes of what we saw with the Bucks a year ago, in that this isn't the way you want to look going into the playoffs. What you're seeing from the Indiana Pacers is starting to remind you of what we saw from the Knicks, who just start to build better stretches of basketball, and then quietly, all of a sudden, you look up and think, man, the Knicks are the 2 seed. Pacers had a chance to be the 3 seed. By the numbers, they've been one of the best teams in the league since January 1st. Starting to remind you what you saw there. So that leaves the door open for who's going to be the Indiana Pacers of last year. And I don't mean get to the conference finals, but a team that just continues to put it together, plays very well, gets a first-round matchup they feel pretty comfortable in, takes care of business from there, and then who knows what happens after. That's where it's starting to feel like we got the Bucks right now with the way things are starting to fall into place. Sunday, you got the rematch with the Pistons, a game that has no impact on the standings. Bobby Portis, I think, let the cat out of the bag tonight in the postgame interview saying, hey, we're looking forward to not playing on Sunday. So I'd imagine that's going to be the approach not only from the Bucks, but really from the rest of the Eastern Conference teams as we know what our matchups are going to be now all across the board. But nonetheless, Sunday afternoon, noon tip-off from Fiserv Forum. 11:30 a.m. is when our pregame coverage begins on these stations. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.